It's the 21st of Adar, which is the Yahrtzeit of the Noam HaMelech. I was asked if I could say something about the Noam HaMelech, which I don't think I'm worthy, but we'll try. And it's interesting that the week in which he passed away is the only set that he didn't write a page from the Torah. Vayakhel, he's got a Perush in every Sedra. Vayakhel, he's got no... Vayakhel this week. No, he's got no Perush. A few years ago, I was privileged to be invited to go to Lizhensk for the Yahrtzeit of the Noam HaMelech. It's a gentleman, a businessman, who decided that year he would take with him, he would sponsor and take with him as many people as he could. And he approached a person he does business with, an Israeli. Not a religious man. Not him, not his wife. Well, not religious. And he said, come to Lizhensk with me. So this person didn't have children, for married many years, didn't have children. So he said to me, the guy, he said, look, I don't believe in these things, you know, but... So I said to him, he said, what you got to lose? Come, you've been to Poland in your life? No, he said, so 5K, come to Poland, at least you've been to Poland. So he said, okay. So the person sponsoring said to him, well, I've got a condition. You're going because your wife hasn't been pregnant, you've been married many years, and you'd like a child... And we're telling you that if you go, you pray for a child, you know, you'll be answered from heaven. But one condition, that you name the child after the Rebbe Elimelech. He said, okay, no problem. So, after the journey, a few months later, the wife got pregnant. And when he came to the bris, he came to the sponsor and he said, I've got a big problem, he says to him. He said, I know I promised you I'll call the child Elimelech. He said, but my wife, she won't have it. No way. But she agreed as a second name, she doesn't care. It won't be the name that we'll call him by. No problem. Fine. Go to the bris, and the child is named. And what's the first name that the woman chose for him? Noam. Noam. She's Israeli. Call him Noam. So his name became Noam HaMelech. I'll share with you a Torah from the end of this week's Sedra. Now, the Rab Melech is known as... The Rebbe Rab Melech is known because he's the Rebbe of many Rebbes. At that time, the Hasidic movement was not yet well established, and the Noam HaMelech became a teacher to many other Rebbeim, and in fact, most of the Hasidic dynasties in Galicia, in Poland, that area, they're all really, all of them, without exception, almost all of them, are Talmidim of the Noam HaMelech. And those who are not Talmidim of the Noam HaMelech are Talmidim of his Talmid, the Chozer of Lublin. Of Yitzhak, Yaakov Yitzhak, the Chozer of Lublin, who was one of his main Talmidim. He says like this, he talks a great deal about the Hasidic concept of the Rebbe, the Tzaddik. He speaks and he says, he learns a lesson from Moshe Rabbeinu comes down from the mountain. So the Torah says, "Vahi bereded Moshe min ahar." Moshe is coming down from the mountain. So he learns a lesson from here, a moral lesson. He says, "What mountain did he come down from? Sinai." What did Chazal teach us about Sinai? What does Sinai teach us? So the Gemara Megillah and Masechet Sotah tells us, why did Hashem choose Mount Sinai as a mountain in which to give the Torah? Because Hashem said it's a low mountain. And Hashem wants to teach everybody humility. That of all the mountains that Hashem could have chosen, He chose only Har Sinai because He is It's a low mountain. He could have chosen a flat place, not a mountain at all. But he chose a mountain because a mountain teaches us another lesson. Although it's not a big mountain, it's a lonely mountain, but nevertheless it's still a mountain, and you can't budge a mountain. And when we come to receiving Torah and learning Torah, you have to be very firm with the Torah. You can't push the Torah away. So Hashem, Har Sinai teaches us humility. That Hashem chose a low place. So Vayered Beredet Moshe Min Ahar means when Moshe Rabbeinu, not just physically coming down, he came down in humility. And we know Moshe Rabbeinu was Va'ish Moshe Anav Mikol Adam. So it's that Madrega that gave Moshe the greatness that he had. The fact that he felt low. The fact that he felt that he is nothing. And he goes on to explain that if you look at the Psukim there, it says, it starts off, Vahi bered Moshe minahar, the story starts, and it came to pass when Moshe comes down from the mountain, and then it describes Moshe coming down the mountain with two luchos, and it says that Moshe is holding two luchos, and it says, bered tom minahar when he came down. Why repeat it? Because it starts, the paragraph starts, Vahi bered it, and then it tells you he's holding two luchos berito when he came down. So the repetition. So he says he learns from here that the word berito is not when he came down, but the word bet has various meanings. And the word here, base, means because of. Why is Moshe Rabbeinu holding two luchos? Because he came down. In other words, because he himself felt lowly and humble and made himself low. And that's the meaning. Then it says, Moshe lo yada ki karan od panav. He didn't know that his face is shining with Kedusha. When people are talking to him, he doesn't know he's shining. So people can't talk to him because they couldn't take that divine light. So he says, like the tzaddik is like this. When a yid comes to talk to the tzaddik, and he talks to him about Yirat Shamayim, about Avoid Hashem, the tzaddik gets exceedingly excited about it. And that causes him to shine Kedusha out. And he's totally unaware. He doesn't think he's got his lahavus. He doesn't realize. He doesn't think this is not his lahavut. I could be. There should be a lot more. I haven't really got enough his lahavut inside me. So he thinks he's got no lahavut. That's what the pasuk is telling. He says, Moshe is speaking to a yid. He's getting exceedingly excited about it because they're talking about Yirat Shamayim. Avoid us Hashem. The yid comes to him for advice, and he gets excited, but he doesn't realize that his kedusha is shining out, and that's Moshe Rabbeinu's. That's the tzaddik's madrega. That he's reached at such a point, he doesn't think it's anything. He thinks there's a lot more to reach. Because the emes is, it's infinite. And there's one can always reach higher. And therefore, the tzaddik always thinks, I have not reached any goal. I'll tell you a story that I remember about the Noam Elimelech. About this idea that the tzaddik never recognizes that he is anything, and there's potentially he should strive so much higher. A yid once came from Hungary to Poland to see the Noam Elimelech. So he came to see it, to be by Shabbos by him, by the dish. So Erev Shabbos, the Noam Elimelech, the Melech, is going to the mikveh, and this person that came from Poland is also going to the mikveh. This person never met the Noam Elimelech, so he didn't know what he looked like. So he's in the mikveh, and they get chatting. So he says to him, I come from Hungary. He says, you come all the way from Hungary just to see this person who is a charlatan, who is a liar, and is a good for nothing. And the person that came from Hungary, very upset. How can you talk about the tzaddik, about the Rebbe, in such a way? And he started screaming at him. He kept quiet. We went. Friday night by the Tisch, the Chosid realizes that the person he was talking to was the Rebbe himself. So he felt very bad in him. He was shaking. He went over to the Rebbe to ask him for forgiveness that he had raised his voice against him. So the Rebbe held his hand and comforted him and says, "Don't worry." He says, "I told you my truth. I'm nothing." He told him his truth. I'm an imposter, he said to him. He says, "You told me your truth." It shows he's the tzaddik, the humility of the tzaddik, that he doesn't see himself as a tzaddik. And again, we look in Parshas Hukas, where we learned about Parshas Para Aduma. It tells you again how the Noam Elimelech saw his learning of Torah. We know that the Gemara talks about that the person has to learn Torah lishma. It's got to be for pure reasons, for the sake of the Torah, for the sake of Hashem. And when they do so, the achievement that it causes in the spiritual realms is tremendous. They build oilamos, they're building worlds in the spiritual realms when they're learning Torah lishma. Every year, learns Torah lishma, has to realize that what he's building and creating spiritually is palaces in the spiritual realms. And this is what the Gemara tells us: the chol banayich limudei Hashem, al tikre banayich ela bonayich. That the chol banayich, all your children are learned. Don't read the word banayich children, but read it your builders, bonayich your builders. Because when you learn Torah, you're building spiritual realms above. So he says in Noam Elimelech, Zot Chukas HaTorah. The word chukah, you should know, means the world that they're building. It means worlds. That's how he explains it. Ha'olamon nikraim choyk. They're called choyk. Why is it called a choyk? Why should the world be called a choyk? He says because the pasuk says about the planets, Hokuzman latan lahem. He says, we say in Psuke de Zimbra, choyk, we say by Birkas HaLevona, Hok uzman natan lahem. Hashem gave time for the planet to move here, the planet to be there. So he says, you see, the planets are called choyk. So when you learn Torah, you're not chukas haTorah. When you learn Torah, you're building worlds. So he goes on and he explains like this. He says, Zot chukas haTorah, and then he says at the end of the pasuk, he says, Lemoir, the Beret Bnei Israel, Lemoir. He says, why Lemoir? He's talking to the Jewish people, why Lemoir? And he goes on to explain as follows. When the tzaddik is learning Torah, he looks at yesterday. I also learned Torah yesterday. And then he evaluates, yesterday, that wasn't proper learning. I did not achieve, I didn't become attached to Hashem, I didn't become infused with Kiddush, and I didn't achieve. So therefore, today I'm coming to learn, I'm looking at yesterday, and I didn't achieve anything, he feels, so today he has to try 10 times harder in order to try and achieve something and build something. He's looking at it from the point of view yesterday. And every day he goes on like this. So every day he's building new worlds. And this is the idea of Lemoir. Lemoir is to go on saying. It's not that I learned yesterday and it's finished. Lemoir, you have to go on. Now, the Pasuk says in Yoiv, Mi yiten tahor mitome. Who can create purity out of impurity? And this pasuk is used by Chazal to describe the Para Aduma. The Para Aduma is metaher tameim. Those who are unclean, spiritually unclean, become tome with a mace. The Para Aduma makes them clean, and the person who is attending to it and sprinkling on the other person, he's dealing with the ashes, he becomes unclean. So it's metaher temeim, umetame tehoir. So he learns The Noam Elimelech learns as follows with this from here. He learns a lesson from the way he interprets the Torah to learn him as a lesson for him. He says, a tzaddik who is oved Hashem, because he's introspecting and looking at himself and looking at the Torah he learned yesterday, and he says, no, yesterday I didn't learn properly, I didn't do anything. So really, he is a Tahir. But when he goes to learn, he's metame de tahirim. He considers himself unclean. He says, what did I achieve? Yesterday it wasn't right, I didn't learn properly. So he interprets the pasuk, and he says, metaher et atemeim, metaher et atemeim. He's learning like this. Yesterday I learned Torah. I did not learn properly. He judges himself very severely. Therefore he says, I was tummy. From that, he now got the motivation and the drive to learn today with greater enthusiasm. Therefore today's Torah is metaherim, because he thought he was tummy. So this is what it says, mi yiten tahor mitomi. Who can bring purity out of impurity? This is the way that the tzaddik learns. The tzaddik realizes, no, I haven't reached purity yet. Therefore, I'm in a level of tumah yet still. And therefore, this is his driving motivation, that today I'm going to learn with greater enthusiasm and greater motivation to make impurities. In other words, the fact that he considers himself impure is what drives him on to become more pure than he was before. One can't mention the Rav Melech without mentioning his brother. It goes together always. He had more than one brother, Rav Zusha, and Rav Melech always go together. In fact, it was Rav Melech who brought him to learn Hasidus. There were not many Melech in those days who didn't go to Hasidus Yeshiva. Was not Mekusha to the Baal Shem Tov, and was not Mekusha to the Magda Mezerich. He was a big ilu in learning, and he went to yeshiva to learn Litvish yeshiva. And he was a big ilu in learning. Big gong he was in learning. In fact, when he used to see his brother, and his brother did become attached to the Magda Mezerich, and his brother used to come and to town, to home, and used to see him, he used to think his brother's a bit... What does he do? He davens like a meshugana. He screams when he's davening. He moves and jumps all over the place when he's davening. And then the rest of the day he secludes himself, he goes to the forest and he does his boydedus and he does the veikus. Alien. It was alien to him. He didn't understand with his brother. That his brother was full of yearning for Hashem, and he wants to be close to Hashem, and he would seclude himself somewhere and think about the Almighty and connect himself in his mind to the Almighty. This was not the derech of the yeshiva world. And he said to his brother, he says, what are you doing? You know, I'm afraid to say, you know, the way you're behaving, it seems that you're a bit, you know, people think you're a bit, you know. So Reb Zusha told him a moshel. And he said to him as follows, trying to convince him of the idea that sometimes a person has to feel that he wants to connect to God and focus his mind and think about connecting to God. That even when you're learning in order to connect to God. So he told him a story. And he said to him, he says, there was a very successful trader. Somebody had a trade, became very successful, became rich, but he wasn't happy with it. He says, really, I'd like to be by the palace, with the royalty, with the king, but I'm a simple tradesman. Yes, I made it, and I've got plenty of wealth, but I'm not happy. I want to be near the palace, near the king, and I want to see the king every day. So he decided he'll sell up everything he's got, and lock, stock and barrel, sell his house, all his possession, get the money and move to the capital near the palace of the king. And when he came there, he wanted to be in the palace. So he wasn't satisfied just being near the palace, he wanted to be. So he thought, maybe I'll get a job inside the palace. So he went to see some of the ministers, government ministers, and asked, maybe there's a job I can work in the palace so I can see the king. And what job? You know, you're a simple tradesman. What can we give you? What can we job? But he had plenty of money. He was very successful. So he bribed himself through the ministers to get a job. What job is available? Well, you know what? We need somebody in charge of the wood, cutting the wood and burning the fires to keep the palace warm. So he paid a large sum of money and he became the woodcutter and the one who lights the fires in the palace. And that was his job. And he was happy to be near the king. But he doesn't always get to see the king, even when he's chopping wood and he's lighting the fires in the palace. But he worked so faithfully that the king noticed that in the winter the palace has a lovely temperature. It's not over hot. It's never cold. You know, so he asked, he said, how come, you know, this year the temperature in the palace, everything is so average all the time, so nice. So they told him, we took this man who's very enthusiastic, he wants to be near the palace, he wants to be near the king, and he loves the king. So he asked for a job, and we gave him this job. So the king asked to see him. So he had an audience with the king. And the king wanted to thank him that, you know, I understand you're a big admirer of mine, of the king, and that you want to be in the palace. And I want to thank you that you work so faithfully and wholeheartedly for me. So the man said to him, but I want to see the king every day. So the king said, you know what? You're a simple worker. It's a design for the king that you should be in court with me. Well, I'm holding court, that you should be amongst my courtiers. You know, it doesn't go. He said, but since I know that you really love me so much, I'll tell you what to do. Go to on the roof. I'll allow you to make a little hole. We'll make a little hole, and we'll put a little window there. And whenever you have a desire that you want to see the king, go up there and look at the king. And that's what he used to do. Whenever he had the desire to be near the king, to see the king, he wasn't allowed really in the court, but he used to look at the king. It happened to be that year that the son of the king had one of the banquets the king had, the son got a bit drunk, and he became a bit rude, and the king banished him for a year from the palace. And the son became very upset. And he also wanted to be near, he wanted to his father, to the king. So he spoke to the woodcutter, and he saw that the woodcutter, every now and then, he disappears and he goes somewhere. So he told him, you know, whenever I desire, I also have a big desire to see the king. And I always go up here and I peep through that hole and I see the king all the time and I'm happy. So the son went and joined him. So what's this muscle that he was telling his brother? I mean, we're talking about this Gaon, the Noam HaMelech, such a Gaon in Torah and learning. And he's telling him this story. And the Noam HaMelech happed on it. And he understood that his brother, what he's doing, and what he, the fact that he's a simple man, because Rav Zusha was a very poor man. The Noam HaMelech was a very rich man. Before he even became a rabbi, he was a rich man, because his father, I digress a little bit in the middle of the story, his father was Rabbi Eliezer Lipman. And he was a merchant, and he was a very wealthy man. Big merchant. When he died, he left his possessions, he had four sons, he says, to one son, he says, you take my land. To the other one, he says, you know, you take all my, I'll give you my cash. The other one, to Noam HaMelech, he left all his jewelry. No, no le cortó mucho. And to Rav Zusha, he left him. He says, I'm a trader. Whenever I go, I'm going to have loads of debts owing to me from trade. He says, there's plenty owing to me in trade. He left it to Rav Zusha. Rav Zusha was not interested in anything material. So he never collected a penny. And he became a very poor man, and he chose it. That's what he chose. And he is in the story, in the marshal that we're giving, he is the poor woodcutter who has a yearning to see the king, which means Hashem's brother. And the brother understood the story. And from then onward, the brother agreed to go and visit the Magid of Mezevich. And once he went there, he wouldn't leave. He became attached to the Magid of Mezevich, became like one of his main Talmidim, and he became Chosid. This is how the Noam Elimelech became. Now, him and his brother, on a regular basis, used to go on self-imposed exiles. They would go from town to town and in poverty and without knowing anybody. And wherever they went, they were the schnorrers and the beggars, and people would abuse them. They were not known as... Nobody knew that he was a big Talmid Chacham. So he pretended to be a nobody, and they went into exile. The story that once the Noam Elimelech needed to wash hands to David. And he came to this town, to this village. Where shall I wash hands? And he saw a bakery. Of course, in the bakery they'll always have water. So, and the door of the bakery, because it's hot, the ovens are there, it's hot. So he went in. He went to the bakery to wash his hands. He washed his hands, came out. But in the meantime, they were taking the bread out of the ovens, and they were putting the breads out on the tables, all the breads that the loaves had baked. And a guy sneaked in and stole some of the breads. And the owner said, what's going on? Who's stolen the bread? They said, well, we saw this man, this poor man, came in and was washing his hands. So he ordered his servant, go after him, and beat him up, teach him, you don't come here to town and steal. So he sent his going round over to go and beat him up. Got on the horse, went after him, caught him, gave him makkos, beat up the Noam Elimelech, terribly beat him. In the meantime, the guy is beating the Noam Elimelech, a terrible fire broke out by the bakers. Terrible fire. They couldn't put it out. The baker realized immediately, it must be because I've sent to beat this poor man who he thought stole a loaf, and I'm sent over somebody to beat him up and punished. So he got on the horse and he ran after them. And he got to out of town and he saw the guy coming back. And he prides himself, I gave him a beating, I taught him a lesson not to come and steal. So he says, where is he? He says, there, by the trees in the forest, you know. So he goes over, and he sees the Noam Elimelech going, you know, with his head leaning on a tree, and he's crying, and he's calling out to Hashem Yisbarach. And he's saying to Hashem, he says, I will not daven mincha. It was time for mincha. He said, I will not daven mincha until you extinguish the fire in the house of the baker. And he was screaming this. And the baker's behind, listening. So the baker realized that he was no ordinary man. He knew that there was a fire there and that Hashem made the fire because of him. So he threw himself to the floor and to the feet of the Noam Elimelech and begged him for forgiveness. You see, you know, of course, I have nothing to forgive you for. And he forgives you. And that is, everywhere you see the Noam Elimelech and his brother, the two of them, self-imposed exile, looked at themselves as absolutely nothing. Time doesn't allow me to go anymore with any more stories, but I'll mention something. Hasidim, all over the world, always daven the tefillah of the Normally Melech, which you find in Hasidic Sidurim. There's a famous tefillah of the Normally Melech, which you say before davening. And the other thing, that the followers of the Normally Melech, also many Hasidim, of all different types of different Hasidim, they learn the tzetel katan, the small note. And there are 17 points there of that the Normally Melech wrote, but he recommends should be the guidance for how a Yid should guide himself. And the tzetel katan is also something amongst Hasidim, something very important they learn. And something he says there, just to tell you one, he says, everything the tzaddik does, including his material daily living, he elevates everything to kedusha. So he says, when we engage in eating, and eating is a mundane thing, he says, never forget Hashem Yisbarach. And why you're eating, and you're eating for a purpose, in order to serve Hashem. So he said like this, he says, ma'achal is food. If you count the letters and see the numerical value, 91. He says, never forget you're eating, is two names of Hashem should be in front of you. Yud Ke Vav Ke and Aleph Dalet Nun Yud, these two names together make 91. Aleph Dalet Nun Yud is 65, Yud Ke Vav Ke is 26, 26 and 65 is 91. He says, whenever you eat, always bear in mind, having in the front of your eyes, that Hashem is in front of you. It's a quote of the of Ramel Nele Ben Eliezer Lipman should be making in the whole of Klal Yisrael.